You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. I'd like to help you, don't you? If I really, really would, but the feeling in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the water, and I'd like to give the information, asking for no good blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear. Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two, and you are indeed listening to the Common Sense Show, where we are freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we need to start doing our work a little more quickly and robustly. Because, like I said, we still have wholesale ignorance across this country. I mean, we have so much evidence on Clinton, Wasserman, Schultz for obstruction of justice. We have so much on these people. They should all be in prison, and yet the average person is clueless. I mean, maybe 10, 15% of the country has any awareness. And this is why all of you need to become missionaries of the truth. When you see something you like on YouTube, you need to share it with your social media. You need to share these interviews that we do. Joe Hagman, the last hour. We have Mike Adams coming up in just a moment. Josh Coy in the third hour. You need to share these, because you never know when someone hears something that appeals to them, they go, oh, wow, I didn't know that. Let me listen to this. This is interesting. You never know when that magic moment is going to come. We have to raise awareness. So, anyway, that's my plea to you. And if you hear me crying out in pain, yeah, I got a little back pain here. I was in bed most of the week. Not sure what's going on. I have some referred pain down my leg. My wife was able to give me some stuff to smooth it over so we could go to Vegas and see the Who. And yeah, it was a little touchy and dicey. But, you know, you might hear me go, ah! Well, if you do, that's me. And it looks like the body is breaking down. So we'll see how this progresses. But I'm determined to stay here behind the microphone. In fact, actually, in the third hour, as I told you, we're expanding our operations here at the Common Sense Show, both from a broadcast standpoint and from a print media standpoint. Please pay attention to that. We're going to talk about that in the third hour with Josh Coy. Just want to mention to you that one of the sponsors that we have that makes this show possible is my good friend Bob Griswold from ReadyMadeResources.com. He is an ultimate prepper. He's really good at what he does. Night vision, water filtration, communications. You really need to pay attention to what he has and look for the gaps in your own present preparation. I always say food, water, guns, gold, ammo, and medicine. And he can help you with a good portion of those. Go to readymaderesources.com, and he'll consult with you, too. He'll ask you, what are you looking to do? And he'll try to find you the most cost-effective way to do it. In fact, he's actually on the bigger ticket items now offering financing. So readymaderesources.com. Well, one of my favorite people in this business, who also has a terrific approach to health, fitness, wellness, Mike Adams is joining us in this hour. And, of course, it's Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and he has that great website, naturalnews.com, and it's my go-to site. I go there every single day to see what's latest on there, and Mike has great articles up there. He also has a good staff of really talented and knowledgeable writers, and so it really is one of my go-to places to visit on a daily basis. So, Mike Adams, thank you so much for joining us on this Sunday evening. We're glad you could be with us.
It's great to join you again, Dave. Thank you for inviting me.
That's always our pleasure, because I know how busy you are. Believe me, I know.
we all stay busy these days.
You must meet yourself coming in the door. Well, you have covered so much in the last couple of weeks. I'm getting dizzy. I mean, usually people will go on themes and they'll stay with a thematic approach for a while. And you're not really doing that right now. You're kind of like covering it as the dam breaks. You're in that position. It breaks somewhere else. You're in that position. And you're kind of all over the map right now because there's so much going on. Where would you like to start tonight?
Well, I actually, I'd like to start with the message. You know, one of your sponsors there is in the prepping business, and that's, it's really important that people understand that if you want to spend a lot less money on prepping, do it before the crisis hits. And I don't know about you, but you know, my spidey sense has been going off for several months here about the urgent need for preparedness. I just get such a strong sense that something is going to happen soon, probably with North Korea escalating perhaps into, you know, China, Russia, Syria, Ukraine. It's a domino effect. We can talk about that. But I don't know if people remember, but after the Sandy Hook incident, you couldn't get 22 long rifle ammo for anything less than about 25 cents a round. It used to be 5 or 6 cents a round. And that's good ammo for bartering, you know. It's not very effective for self-defense, but it's great for barter or for maybe protecting a garden from critters or what have you. Yes. But you can get that right now for about 7 or 8 cents a round again. It used to be, again, like 25, sometimes 30, 35 cents. Now, 223 ammo for something like an AR-15 platform. That, before the Sandy Hook shooting, you could get that in bulk for about 25 cents a round. After Sandy Hook, it was over a dollar a round. Well, now it's back into the 30 cents something per round range. You can get pretty decent ballistic tip, you know, 223 ammo for about 35 cents in bulk. So if the unprepared people, they overpay everything by 300, 400, 500% because they try to buy things when everybody's panicking. And if you want to avoid that, just all I'm saying is prepare now, you'll save a fortune.
Well, I agree, and you need to, you know, Bob Griswold has told me this too. Totally what he says. He says, if you wait until stuff starts to happen, he said, prices are going to go up dramatically. I remember that too. After the first battle of Bull Run, in which Lee surprisingly defeated the North, Washington, D.C. was open for invasion, and the price of sugar, I remember, went up 1,800%. I remember reading that in a history textbook.
Uh-huh.
You're absolutely right. Once things begin to happen, the prices climb dramatically. Now is the time. And all of the sponsors I have on the Common Sense Show tie somehow into preparation, whether it's health or it's food or water filtration or night vision, whatever it is, ties into that. Because I agree with you, Mike. I feel it in my bones. I feel it in the morning when I wake up. Is this going to be the day that all hell is going to break loose?
And remember, the supply lines are very, very thin, more so than at any other time in history. So even companies like us, you know, my online store, the Health Ranger store, it looks like we have a lot of products, and we do, but the inventories are very thin. And if there's, let's say, iodine, if there's a nuclear-related event, all the iodine will be sold out almost immediately from every online retailer. You know, we probably have in stock, you know, fewer than 500 bottles. And that's like an hour's worth after, you know, a Fukushima incident or something. I mean, and it's the same everywhere. Remember when people were profiteering and they were trying to sell potassium iodide pills for like $600 a box on eBay after the Fukushima panic? And that's what you're going to see. I mean, everybody who sells things at the regular price will be sold out. You know, all the supplies that you need, food, medicine, ham radio, gear, antiseptics, ammo, different, you know, pistol ammo, shotgun ammo, rifle ammo. It's almost all sold out. The only exception I've seen, Dave, is the very high caliber, long range shooting ammo, such as .338 Lapua Magnum, or maybe .300 Win Mag ammo. If those rounds never really went up in price, because most people were buying just the common ones, the .22 long rifle and the .223, and that's why, by the way, I became very proficient at shooting the .338 Lapua Magnum. But that's another story.
No, it is, but right there you just hit three of the seven things I say people have to have initially. There's a lot more, but
yeah.
I totally agree with you. But, you know, let's compare notes here. I think we're going to see something happen of a false flag because people like you and me and several others in our business are getting too close to the truth and exposing the true nature of the deep state to the average person, and they need to create a distraction and a martial law enforcement to follow up. What do you think it is?
I think history shows that you're exactly right. I mean, every state exists primarily to protect itself, whether you call it the deep state or just the state. You look throughout history, this always happens when a bureaucracy or, let's say, a regime is in trouble. It will turn to creating fear and creating a consolidation of power through war, either fabricating war or escalating existing war, or a false flag operation to create the impression of war, what have you. These are scenarios that have happened all throughout history. And my assessment is that there are elements within the U.S. deep state that may not have even, they may not, Trump may not be aware that any of this is going to happen. So I'm not assigning him as a co-conspirator. What I'm saying is that there are deep state elements that have to stay in power. And just as you said, if there is a false flag attack, that would be a very effective way to do it. And just as a fictional example of this, okay, I'm not predicting this. I'm not saying that this is going to happen. Just as a fictional example, suppose they set off a nuclear bomb themselves in some city like Chicago or Seattle, and then they blamed North Korea. Would that fly in the mainstream media right now? Absolutely it would, because you have the pre-narrative of North Korea and the missile launches and so on. That's already in place. So again, I'm not saying that they would do this. I'm just saying of all the possibilities out there, they don't have any rules. They don't have any bounds. So they could fabricate or stage something very dramatic and very deadly in order to blame their enemy and consolidate power in the United States. Absolutely.
Yeah, they have the perfect narrative, or narratives, I should say, and they also could probably get Trump to do it. Let me give you one specific scenario that I've talked a lot about in writing over the past month. If the Oroville Dam goes at a time of the elite's choosing, I've done research into this, and here's what the experts tell me, that about 25% of all retail would be grossly affected. There goes your just-in-time deliveries. So you have immediate product shortages. You have this agricultural rich region in the Central Valley of California, second in the world in rice. I mean, right on down the line, you'd have food shortages and spot famines. That could necessitate Trump having to declare martial law for the allocation of resources. And then here's my scenario on this. Take Trump out one way or another, and his successor has inherited a nation under martial law. What an easy way to control the people. That's where I lose sleep at night.
Yeah, absolutely. As you know, there's been a lot of concern expressed in this last week about Trump being subjected to an assassination plot of some kind, or perhaps an attempt to dethrone him through political means. But I think that if that's true, whoever is thinking that is not considering the response from the American people that I call the Second Amendment activation. I don't know how much the globalists realize that America is already on a knife's edge right now, just one event away from breaking out into a civil war of sorts, it seems. And the assassination of President Trump, should such a horrific thing occur, would, of course, be a catalyst for perhaps something that could break down into civil war very quickly. I can very easily imagine 10,000 armed patriots storming Washington, D.C. and defending their nation by preventing the deep state from putting their person in power and seizing control and so on. I'm not predicting all of this. I'm just saying it's not hard to imagine some of those things happening should an assassination be successful, which, of course, we hope never happens. But they're getting desperate at this point. The deep state is getting desperate, and they haven't been able to destroy Trump yet, so they're willing to try anything.
Mike, I agree with you, and it's not hard to even write the scenarios, because the military, if that were to happen, first of all, if Trump's assassinated, the American people, even the average person, is educated well enough now not to believe the single assassin lone nut theory with a diary.
Right.
They're not going to buy that another time, and they've worn that welcome out too far. And I do think even if Trump were to die of natural causes now, I think there would be problems for the deep state. And so then the next thing that happens, Mike, and I wanted to ask you about this, the military has a fundamental decision to make at this point. Do they stand with the people who are in open rebellion, or do they fly in the Apache helicopters and kill those 10,000 people that you just mentioned?
Right, and there will be factions within the military. I can see, you know, some elements of the military are very fiercely patriotic, and you know, a very large portion of the military is from Texas as well, and they would. I mean, I can see scenarios where Governor Abbott declares all of the State Guard to be, you know, taken over under his command to defend both Texas as well as the Union. And there are so many scenarios from this, but my assessment is whoever shoots first loses. So if an assassination of Trump is clearly blamable on the left, they lose. But if a bunch of patriots march on Washington, let's say, and they start shooting first, they lose. It's really whoever shoots first loses. Because of the way all these things play out in the media, it's only the victim of tyranny, whoever that may be, the victim of the tyranny wins, that wins the narrative. You know, I mean, you know how all wars are fought like this. First, it's the war of words, and it's the narratives that have to be put into place, and kinetic action is usually only an extension of this war of words, or, you know, as Alex Jones calls it, the information war or info war. It's the info war that happens first, and it's everything else typically that follows. But if there are any patriots who are thinking about defending their nation, you know, you really need to hold your fire until it's the very last resort, I say, because whoever shoots first loses.
You're right about the public support, though. When I was covering Benghazi, and I was fortunate enough to have some military intel types approach me, one retired, and they said, Dave, this is what happened, and they told the story about how Carrier Task Force Commander and General Ham conspired together to rescue Stephen so he'd sing like a canary knowing he'd been given up to be killed, and they would bring down Obama. That was a coup of opportunity. So when that coup failed because the number twos in both those commands were CIA and they arrested their commanders before they could disobey Panetta's orders, what ended up happening was I had a conversation with both men independently. And I asked them, well, you came close, why not try again? And they said, this was a coup of opportunity. The American people at this point in our history will not accept a military coup against Obama, and it will fail because of that. You are right on the money with what you're saying, and I've heard it from the horse's mouth.
Yeah. But there is a risk that those who oppose Trump will overreach or not be careful, and that in attempting to take him down, they may accidentally show their hand. There's also a fairly good chance that something will be uncovered with Debbie Wasserman Schultz and, you know, her IT guy who tried to flee the country and got arrested, and that hard drive. Some of the things that you've been covering on your website and working on, any one of those things could blow up at any time and really strongly turn things against the DNC, the Clintons, the corruption of the left, Podesta, and so on. So this is living in the world today is like walking through a minefield. You don't know which step is going to set something off, or if something goes off, you don't know if it's going to be you or the guy in front of you or the person behind you. I mean, it is, no one can tell what's going to blow first, but something's going to break soon. That's the sense I get.
I agree. I brought this up to Joe Hagman last hour. The Wasserman Schultz thing is huge. I mean, at the bare minimum, and this is one of the landmines I think you could be referencing, she has IT guys who are on the payroll until after the arrest, And they were destroying hard drives connected to email servers connected to the Seth Rich and Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, because of the destruction of this federal evidence that was under subpoena to obtain by the FBI, she's guilty of obstruction. That's the minimum
clearly.
Charge she's guilty of.
Yeah, she's probably guilty of treason and sedition.
She is. And I'm saying minimum. Right now, Jeff Sessions has enough to get her on obstruction. Right now, today, in my opinion.
Yeah, and this is what's frustrating so many American people. Why isn't Jeff Sessions going after these people where the evidence already exists? And instead, the mainstream media is focused on a false narrative of evidence that doesn't exist, the Russian hoax and so on, going after Jared Kushner or going after Trump. But there's so much evidence right now against Hillary Clinton, the uranium deal. There's so much evidence against even James Comey himself. I mean, he admitted to crimes under sworn testimony. And he and Mueller and Wasserman Schultz, there's so much evidence out there about Podesta. Where are the investigations against these? What about Eric Holder? The things that he did under Obama. What about Obama himself? Laundering money to the Iranians. Unmasking U.S. citizens with illegal surveillance. Obama himself should be brought up on charges. If we are a country of law, why is Obama immune from criminal prosecution when he deliberately committed crimes against this nation? That's my question.
If you want my honest opinion, it's because Jeff Sessions has his hand on the chicken switch. That's what I think.
You think he's compromised?
Yes. And I don't know how. But, I mean, all he's done in office, people say, and I was on his side for a while. He busted all these child sex traffickers, but when you really back up and look and say, what did he really do? He busted mid-level assistant managers of the activities of child sex trafficking. He hasn't got anybody significant. And I'll tell you who was hanging out there to dry. And I said these people will go state's evidence, and Sessions has them in his sights. And that was Anthony Weiner and Uma Abedin.
Yes.
I mean, here they have all this information on their servers. How does Sessions not get them under the spotlight and say, how long do each of you want to do in prison? Okay, I want Hillary Clinton.
I know. Because if the Democrats had that kind of leverage on people, they'd be using it and twisting people's arms and threatening in every way possible. This is what's so frustrating to so many Americans today, is that the Republicans have power and they refuse to use it. They just won't use it. But they'll sit there and get steamrolled by the Democrats with a little shred of accusation based on no evidence. Yet when the Republicans have considerable evidence, convincing evidence on the Democrats, they do nothing with it. Nothing.
Well, it's just like Obamacare. It's the same thing. We have 7 years of Republican blustering. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. When it comes down to it, they do nothing. Because they're all compromised by the money they get from the managed care companies. That, to me, is the only obvious explanation. But you're right. They do nothing. So what do we do about this?
Well, and even worse, John McCain, of course, you have a history with investigating McCain. McCain betrays America with critical votes. He has become a traitor to the Republican Party and a traitor to his nation, but that's a different conversation. In terms of the big picture, one of the things I think is happening here is that the American people are learning that the representative government does not represent them in any way whatsoever. And really, the big picture is that voting people into office is a useless gesture. I mean, this is a very dangerous point of recognition, really, if you think about it, because it's the kind of thing that historically leads to revolutions or overthrowing of a government. Because whoever you send to Washington now, it doesn't matter. They don't represent your views. They don't do what they said they were going to do. How many Republicans raised billions of dollars on repealing Obamacare? And then when they got there, they did nothing. And what is the message to the American people? That this system doesn't work. It's useless. it took a miracle to get a Republican-controlled White House, House, and Senate, and Supreme Court, if you think about it. That took a miracle. And yet, with the bend over and surrender and get steamrolled. So the voters are realizing, you know, even this is not enough. Something else has to change. And the big concern here, Dave, is that Trump loses in 2020, let's say, and someone like Bernie Sanders wins, and then the entire system, that government, now becomes weaponized and radicalized by the socialist left to be used against the American people. All the people who supported Trump will then be targeted by a Sanders regime, let's say, or someone similar, who will bring back the Lois Lerner IRS persecution. You know, they'll bring back secret investigations. They'll bring back the unmasking, the NSA surveillance of U.S. citizens, all the stuff that Obama did times 10, because now it's all out war against the people. And that's a scenario where I see quite a large possibility for bloodshed, revolution, that kind of thing.
Well, I agree. And it almost seems like the deep state wants that anyway, so they can quell the political uprising that is growing in this country. Black Lives Matter is an example of what I'm talking about. You know, when you see a crime, here, first of all, let me just say this. When you have a criminal in the form of a cop and they kill an unarmed, innocent citizen, they need to be held accountable no matter what their race is. But when the race of the cop is white and the victim is someone who's non-white, the media goes ape you know what. But when it's reversed, crickets chirping.
Right.
Did you see how quickly the mainstream media is trying to get that Minneapolis woman off the front pages when the Somalian cop killed her and she was unarmed and she was the one that called for the cops?
Yeah. Yeah, well, we know the media is bigoted, the media is racist, and the media does judge people by the color of their skin. So, no surprise there. But, you know, that part's not going to change.
But I'm saying that this is leading to a bifurcation in our society.
Yes.
Where people are seeing artificial divisions becoming reality. Blacks should hate whites, and whites should hate Latinos, and on it goes. When really, before Obama took over, you know, race relations weren't in the mind of most Americans.
That's right. Yeah. Well, remember the whole purpose of the Obama regime was to dismantle America, you know, to destroy the country both economically and culturally, shift it to the left, take over education, put messages into Hollywood, create racial division, you know, destroy lawfulness in society. And arm enemy nation states like Iran. And Obama succeeded in all of those. If there was a checklist of how to systematically destroy America, and it had 20 check marks, Obama checked off maybe 18 out of 20. And he was trying to also, of course, destroy Israel. Remember, he funded the secret election interference effort to defeat Bibi over there. And they got caught, and you know the U.S. was interfering in all kinds of other elections all around the world, including Central and South America. And then the Democrats scream that the Russians interfered with our elections, and pretend that the U.S. never did any of that. Have you ever interviewed John Perkins, Confessions of an Economic Hitman?
Yeah, a few years ago I did.
Yeah, well, Perkins and his books, he documents the U.S. interfering with elections and overthrowing regimes all over the world. You know, Southeast Asia, Central America, Africa, you name it. That's business as usual for the deep state of the United States. And now they're in the position of trying to overthrow the United States government, in essence, because Trump won. So, and they've got every tool to do it. Economic tool, you know, media tools, propaganda tools, false flag tools, cultural tools, everything. They run every institution almost. So this is almost a losing battle unless something radical changes things.
If you could wave a magic wand, Mike, what would it be?
Well, gosh, if I could wave a magic wand, I would want every American liberal to go live in a socialist collapsing regime for 30 days. Send them all to Venezuela or North Korea or Cuba. You know, just see what socialism and left-wing governments look like, and then come back to America and rethink it. You know, you got all these students who think that socialism is this awesome, incredible thing. You know, you saw that campus reform video recently, I assume.
Yes.
And none of them can describe socialism. They just say, oh, it's all about transparency and everybody's more equal. And they have no idea what centrally planned economies do in terms of cruelty, oppression, tyranny. So we need a wake-up call. But the only way it's probably going to come is through some kind of catastrophe or collapse.
I know, and by then, so who controls the military? I keep coming back to this. I think this is the key. I've told people, and I've told Oath Keepers this, I've told ex-veterans this, put away your guns, stay in the process, because if it does become a shooting war, initially, you're going to have nothing to do with the outcome. You'll just get yourself killed. This battle is going to be fought internally inside the military.
Yeah,
and
probably.
I have to be honest with you, Mike. I vacillate. I go back and forth on what direction the military will go. Now, I do think if the military was sitting in a classroom and they were allowed to raise their hand, ask questions, and have free expression of thought, they'd side with the people. But that's not the way the military works. They're given an order, and they say, "Yes, sir. How high do you want me to jump?" That's how they're conditioned. Well,
sure, and the false flag attacks against the military are so easy for the deep state to stage. All they got to do is pull together some apparent militia group, let's say, which could be a left-wing militia, and just go attack a military base or attack a military convoy on U.S. soil, you know, on a highway or something. That's all it's going to take, because at that point, the word gets around, and the military people say, "Oh my God, we're under attack by the people," and then they will go along with gun confiscation nationwide. And if our military goes all in for gun confiscation, then it's going to be a bloody, bloody mess. So let's hope that never happens. Let's hope our men and women in uniform aren't so easily fooled into fighting for evil.
Mike, I think if that happens, and I do think it's a distinct possibility, but I think if that happens, you'll see the 7 million veterans of fighting age in this country become the next Viet Cong.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you. That's exactly what will happen. And, by the way, another element within, I know Steve Quayle has talked about this, and you have too, the blue helmets. You know, I can see a scenario where things break down and we start having some civil war action in the United States, and Obama himself could come out of the woodwork and call for United Nations peacekeepers to come into the United States to keep the peace, which of course means rape the women and traffic the children and everything else, because that's the United Nations, that's what they do. But they call it peacekeeping. So at that point, you know, there's another factor. And how many veterans in America start, at that point, aiming for the blue helmets, you know what I mean?
Well, they're already here. They came in large numbers in the 2014 Central American invasion by immigration in this country. And I'll tell you an interesting anecdote. Paul Martin, good friend of mine from revolutionradio.org, Paul Martin knows of somebody who met a lady, and they said, "What do you do for a living?" And in fact, it was John Moore from RBN, and she said, "Oh, I'm a UN peacekeeper," and she was living in a house as a civilian, a nice house.
Uh-huh.
They've been
just
embedded,
pre-positioned. Yeah,
they've been embedded in this country. I published 3 years ago in the Central American invasion, UN vehicles all over this country. People were taking pictures and sending them to me. And then I got the excuse, well, they're manufactured back east in Pennsylvania. Well, then how do you explain these pictures in New Mexico or Texas or California?
Uh-huh.
And yeah, the UN has a strong presence here. In fact, during the invasion, and you see, MS-13's back in the news, and during the invasion, I had two border patrols and a DEA agent speaking to me on condition of anonymity. They all told me that they were collecting MS-13 at the border by order of DHS, and when they reached an aggregate number of 8 to 12, they were to be released. Not sent back across the border, really? Released into the United States. See, there's Obama, again, yep. tearing down yeah. this country.
Well, with him, it was a deliberate, systematic plan. And there was a lot of momentum from that plan that Trump and his people are trying to reverse. But there's so much has gone on, it's very difficult to do that. Even, you know, Obama giving, what, $1.7 billion or whatever it was to Iran to fund their nuclear program, that's going to destabilize the Middle East. And Iran has said the first thing it's going to do is nuke Israel. Now, you think Israel's going to stand by and let that happen? Not a chance, right? So they're going to have to preemptive strike Iran, which will set off Syria, which will set off Russia, which will set off China. You know, there are so many catalyst points in the world right now, even North Korea firing a nuke towards the United States. And we got to talk about that, because even if we intercept a nuclear missile, it still rains down radioactive material on the target city, by the way. But, you know, if we get involved in North Korea, then China's involved. And then Taiwan is in play. And then Japan is freaking out. You know, and South Korea is involved. And South Korea is a huge manufacturing base for much of the supply lines of appliances in North America. The U.S. economy would be devastated by one missile strike on the capital of South Korea by North Korea. And you see what I'm saying? There's just
I do. And along those lines, I have an opinion question for you.
Yeah.
If the war comes between the U.S. and North Korea, which side will China be on?
Well, clearly China will be on North Korea's side, I think.
That's what I think, too. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, China gave them the weapons technology largely in the first place. And China, you know, China's long-term interests are tied to geographic dominance of the region. And so they may side with North Korea, but I think their ultimate goal is to displace North Korea. You know what I mean? They would defend them against the Western aggressor, the United States, let's say. But if we manage to bomb North Korea into oblivion, China would move in and just take it over and make it part of China.
I think North Korea is a useful idiot.
Yeah,
they're a puppet. They're a puppet
true.
State of China.
Yeah. Yeah, but remember, China's ultimate goal is domination of the entire region, the Spratly Islands, to take over Taiwan. You know, they got Hong Kong back in 99. They want to get, eventually, Seoul in South Korea and take over that manufacturing base. But, you know, China's got its own economic crash coming as well. You know, it's in a massive debt bubble pyramid, like Japan was in the 1980s. And Japan still hasn't recovered from the 89 crash. That same kind of crash is coming soon for China, but it's going to be much, much worse, and will last probably a generation or longer. So,
but China's taken steps to avoid it. Because listen, do I think they're going to escape it entirely? No, but I've had Bob Kudla on here, and he's talked about the economics of China. Do you know the government? Well, first of all, we know they're going to gold-based trade with Russia. I've reported on that, but also, they are encouraging their citizens to buy commodities, to invest in commodities.
Well,
they're taking them away from their cash.
Yeah. Well, China has strong controls over cash, and the culture has a very high savings rate. So I think part of that message must be that they see, you know, commodities as a safe long-term investment, another kind of bank, in essence. But you know, the ghost towns and the overspending of debt and the real estate speculation in China can only end in implosion. And when it does, that ripple effect is going to be pretty large. I think we'll see a fire sale of Chinese-owned assets in California and around much of the world when that happens. That's what we saw after Japan And it's Nikkei crash in 89. So I think that's coming as well.
You know, you mentioned Eric Holder and you just mentioned China. The Cal Exit movement's kind of gone underground, but they're not done. They're trying to take over the State of Jefferson movement, and I've got the documents.
Okay.
And I've done a preliminary story on this, Mike, but I'm coming out with something bigger in a couple of weeks. A couple of my sources are promising much bigger things. But here's the bottom line. Cal Exit is going to reemerge. I mean, what the hell? They already have an embassy in Russia. I've got a picture of it. Put it on my website. But the Cal Exit thing. Here's the interesting thing about Cal Exit. At the Cal Exit meetings, where one of my sources has had an embedded source attending, they have had the Mexican consulate there, they've had members of the drug cartels there, and they've also had representatives of the Bank of China there. Isn't that interesting that China would be involved in Cal Exit?
Yeah, very interesting. Well, they want the ports, right? They want control of the ports like they took over the Panama Canal.
And like they're doing along the Mexican coast. You know they're doing it along the Mexican coast, too.
I've heard that. And if you think about how the secession might go in California, China could end up having an embassy territory which consists of a port. China could own the land of, let's say, the L.A. port in trade for funding the Cal Exit movement, for example. They could negotiate something like that, and they could end up having Chinese soil on U.S. soil. And, of course, it wouldn't take long before we have a kind of a Cuban Missile Crisis coming out of that, which is a new Chinese missile crisis as they start installing missile silos. And, the U.S. military wouldn't stand for that.
Do you know who runs the Long Beach port now?
I don't.
The Chinese.
Oh, well, that wouldn't surprise me.
No, there have been a lot of reports on this. They never make it in the mainstream media, but there's been a lot of talk about this. And another thing interesting about the Chinese, Mike, that I have found, that along with the uranium, well, first of all, you know the Bundy Ranch affair and so forth, those situations were tied to Hillary Clinton's extraction of uranium by the BLM.
Right.
And part and parcel to those deals, and I wrote about this 2 years ago, and it didn't catch. And now people are starting to pay attention. I've had a couple of offers for radio interviews based on what I wrote 2 years ago. And it's this. Here's the interesting thing. The Chinese have a company called Cinta, C-I-N-T-A, and they're connected to solar energy, but they're really a front company for the Chinese military. So they're embedding Chinese soldiers as Cinta employees. And I was speaking to Paul Martin from Northern Colorado last week. In fact, we were doing an interview. And I mentioned Cinta, and he almost fell out of his chair. I said, Paul. And he said, Dave, I see Cinta trucks here all over Northern Colorado. And there's reports of all these Chinese people buying prepper gear and so forth. The Chinese are gaining a foothold, in my opinion.
Well, that's part of my concern. And just for the record, there are good Chinese people who are Taiwanese. You know, Taiwan is a free enterprise nation, and I lived there for 2 years, and I speak pretty good Mandarin. And then there's communist Chinese. So I just want your listeners to be aware that, not all people are communist Chinese. There's a lot of Taiwan people who are all about freedom and liberty. And their president has been really good about separating from communist China. And they've got a mayor over there, Mayor Ke, who's kind of like the Donald Trump of Taiwan. And he's the mayor of Taipei. They've got some real freedom people there in Taiwan. And Taiwan has our support, as militarily speaking. And we have military agreements with Taiwan to use their airports as military bases in time of war. So as long as the United States is able to defend Taiwan, they will. But if the U.S. gets drawn into something with Russia or perhaps North Korea, Taiwan could be very vulnerable to invasion by mainland China.
Yeah, I have said
that would be disastrous.
Exactly. No, I could not agree with you more. I have said this exact words. When the war starts in Korea, China will move on Taiwan.
Yep. I've come to the same conclusion. any weakness in the West would cause China to move on Taiwan.
Well, China is becoming increasingly aggressive against its neighbors. There are conflicts now with Vietnam. Of course, we know about the border incidents involving the Chinese Army and the Indian Army.
Yes, yes. And another concerning thing, and I know this firsthand, you know, because, again, I speak a fair amount of Chinese, but Taiwan used to have mandatory military training for all males. Used to be 2 years. And now it's been cut down to 1 year, and it's almost optional now. You can get out of it by being overweight as a teenager or other reasons. And Taiwan is it's being wussified through political correctness. The soldiers don't get much real training anymore. They're not as tough as they used to be. It's all going weak and liberal-ish. All, you know, all this PC stuff is invading Taiwan, just like it did the United States. And that's weakening their military readiness, which is interesting, because all of this PC stuff comes from the left that, of course, wants to take over every country in the world and establish, you know, communist empire control everywhere, including Taiwan. So, you know, if you're out there, support Taiwan's defense, because that's key to really the defense of America against communist China.
I was read a Naval War College game that was played, and this was read to me in a communication, and they did three different scenarios, and in each case the mainland Chinese won.
Well, mainland Chinese it would probably win in almost any scenario. Taiwan would be quickly subjected to a beach landing invasion force, and it would come down to block by block guerrilla warfare, where Taiwan, you know, just trying to prevent occupation. China can destroy Taiwan easily with missiles, but they don't want to destroy Taiwan. They just want to rule it and reap the economic benefits from Taiwan's remarkably productive economy. Because, you know, freedom produces abundance, right? And so China wants to take over Taiwan and get all the wealth from the abundance that Taiwan's relative freedom has created. But
That's
I don't see a scenario
comment.
Where Taiwan... Yeah?
That's an interesting comment. I totally agree with what you just said. What a mess. Well, let's adjoin this. Why do you think the Chinese are being so aggressive with the Indians?
Again, China is in a territorial takeover stance. China knows, the economists inside communist China know that they really cannot continue the bubble growth, the debt growth, unless they have more resources. And so, effectively, they need to prevent all breaking away, such as Tibet or Taiwan, and at the same time, they need to subsume other border regions that they can lay claim to, such as the Spratly Islands, and you know they've been building the military bases on the artificial islands that they've created out there. So China is attempting... if you will, and any kind of border disputes that they can make with India, they can always go back into history and they can say, well, 4,000 years ago, the ancient Chinese tribes held and lived in this area, and they can, circle 5,000 square miles that's currently present day India, and they can pressure India and say, give us this land and then we'll be at peace. And they do that for 20 years and then they do it again. Pick another piece. No, this is ours too. China plays the long game. They can do this for generations.
Here's another thing that frightens me. If the Chinese-Indian thing goes hot, what will Pakistan do?
Well,
they're a nuclear nation.
Yeah, I don't anticipate tensions between China and India going kinetic, but I do agree with you pointing out that Pakistan is the wild card. And the fact that Pakistan has nukes and is a lifelong cultural enemy of elements of India, means that things could flare up there very quickly. So I don't know how that's going to play out. You know, a lot of this is like I said, it's like someone has a, let's say you have a high school football field, and someone has put 1,000 landmines out there and says,
yeah,
hey, go cross the field, see what happens. I mean, that's the way I feel about where the world is right now. And one event, one catalyst would lead to the next, like a chain reaction of landmines going off after the first one does.
Mike, we've covered so many possibilities here of hotspots, and this is why I think the conflict is inevitable. There's just too many pitfalls. I mean, you can have an Archduke moment in any of these where seemingly some unrelated event leads to, you know, a series of events, the dominoes fall, and you have World War III. But I think of all the things you said, if I were to look and see what's the most likely, I agree with the false flag, UN-assisted martial law takeover of this country, and then putting the military on the spot.
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty easy for them to organize that. And the media would play right along with it, no question about it. Easy for them to do so. And depending on how it's carried out, it could fool a lot of the Liberty Movement people or even the independent media for quite some time. Because in a large sense, none of us have first-hand information. For example, none of us have even seen missiles launched from North Korea. How do we know that we're even being told the truth about that? I'm not saying that we're not. I'm just putting that out there as a thought experiment. Have you seen a missile from North Korea? No. I mean, how do we know that that's not just total BS? You know, they can have big lies. And those could be involved in false flags and martial law. And Trump could very quickly find himself in a position of being an emergency, you know, a national emergency president where all elections are canceled for a while and the government invokes the executive orders that were written under Obama, which allows the government to go door to door and confiscate all food, all fuel, livestock, seeds, tractors, medicine, everything, gold, ammunition, you name it, everything. That was all under Obama, and they're still there. Trump can use them. FEMA can use them. You know, even if you like Trump, the government that he's running can be very dangerous in the right circumstances. And that's a future we're facing. There's a risk of that.
You're so right on that. It's called Executive Order 13603. And you are right. Everything is subject to confiscation, including you. They can send you and your family off to camps to do forced labor.
That's right.
Mike, you got a great site at naturalnews.com. Health products galore, stuff. You have something for everybody there, and I want to make sure people go and visit. But unfortunately, we're out of time, my friend. So on that note, we've got a bit to do. But once again, thanks for joining us, and we look forward to having you back.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate the invite. Everybody stay safe.
Mike Adams, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in hour number 3 with Joshua Coy. You think you're going to lose sleep? Well, we're just getting started. We'll see you on the other side.